Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Why It Matters. And well, it matters because it's on the front page of the papers today, Ryan. We're going to talk about that proposal offer by Keppel Corp to privatize the non-media business of SPH, the deal worth $3.4 billion.
That's right. So I actually had a chance to sit in on the press conferences for Keppel.
Yeah.
And it was very, I guess, systematic in the way that they laid out how the deal would bring about value, synergies, and a lot of interesting nuggets in the press conference. And this also emerged how Keppel, their offer was selected from more than 20 potential bidders, and the offers received by SPH were either for partial ownership of the company, parts of the company's assets, or for the entire company. And of course, SPH decided to go with Keppel's offer, which is to buy out the entire non-media business of SPH.
Well, they have said that the privatization offer from Keppel is seen to provide the best overall value for shareholders as compared with maintaining status quo or a partial sale of assets. Nonetheless, this will require approval from both SPH and Keppel shareholders. And we're going to try and break this down, Ryan, you and I. On the line to help us out this morning is Terence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital. Terence, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Elliot. Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
What exciting news yesterday, huh? And it's on the front page of the papers this morning. And if you're having trouble understanding the transaction overview, you can get a copy of the Business Times. It's got a nice graph there, but we'll try and help you out as we go along. So, Terence, to start us off, OCBC Investment Research describes the transaction as striking a balance between maximizing value and minimizing disruption for shareholders. How much of a surprise was this bid to you, Terence, you know, given the size of the deal as well as Keppel's recent moves to sort of lighten its balance sheet?
Keppel has put off so many surprises over the past 2 years that really nothing surprises me right now. I mean, it started with October 2019 when Temasek launched a $1.4 billion partial takeover for Keppel. Then the shock came less than a year later when Temasek actually pulled out. And less than 2 months ago in June this year, Keppel announced that they're in talks with Sembcorp Marine to merge their business. And, you know, this rumor has been around for as long as I've entered the industry, that, and that's 20 years in the making. So finally, that's happening. But back to this deal, I was not so surprised at the combination. I mean, that Keppel is coming in, but more so the speed of the transaction. Right after the restructuring of the media business, actually, there were already rumblings on the ground. People were saying that, hey, could it be Keppel that's in? And that's because both Keppel and SPH shares the same chairman, Dr. Lee Boon Yang. And if you can recall, Dr. Lee only stepped down very, very recently from the Keppel board, and Danny Teo came in. So, and over the years, SPH and Keppel had a very, very good relationship. They shared joint ownership and legacy investments. You know, these included M1, KBS Prime, US REIT, as well as the data center development at Genting Lane. So I think SPH's aspirations to grow its recurring income is very, very close to what Keppel Capital would like to do. So they also share the same DNA. In the mean, Keppel, I think it's really the right candidate for taking over some these SPH non-media assets.
Yeah, Terence, couple of ties between SPH and Keppel, like you pointed out. And Keppel, of course, buying the non-media side of SPH. Walk us through the type of value this will unlock for Keppel. It's a bit of a property play here.
Ryan, you attended the media briefing, right? And I'm sure that they spoke about it. I looked at the slides. And it really looks synergistic. Keppel is well positioned to unlock value of SPH portfolio. For a start, I did talk about, you know, SPH. I mean, they do have a joint venture in M1, so as the Genting Lane data center. Now Keppel can own 100% of that. It is also into building scale within its asset management platform. Keppel has long spoken about Keppel Capital being a very, very vital part of its business, the AUM business. right? And SPH REIT could easily inject to the tune of $5.5 billion in assets. There's another, you know, potential for another $2.7 billion out there, which includes some of the malls. And this will bump up AUM for Keppel Capital by 27%. There are other businesses like student accommodation, senior living, retail, all these things will add up to the business, and not to mention about the cost efficiencies when you are talking about companies with far, far larger AUM.
Yeah, you pointed out that there's going to be a presence, or at least an expanded presence in retail. So Keppel owns I12 Katong right now, and of course, they talk about how they are going to ride the retail recovery, and that will also bank on SPH's various properties.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you look at SPH properties, quite a few of them are in the retail space. They have experience running it. And I think that putting them together, again, it's a scale game. If you can look at the likes of Capital Mall, Fraser, they're all like acquiring retail assets. Right now, with this combination, there will be that scale that Capital has been talking about for quite a long time.
Terence, you mentioned earlier about the student accommodation, and I noticed that they do have, or rather SPH has a purpose-built student accommodation in the UK and Germany, and that was something that Keppel talked about at the press con, saying they were eyeing a REIT for the student housing business. Asset monetization seems to be the centerpiece of Keppel's asset light strategy. As a shareholder, how is that paying off?
Well, I think if you look at SPH, let's take a step back. You look at SPH portfolio, they have purchased, they purchased the first portfolio, I remember, that was in 2018. At that point in time, there were like 3,400 bits. They have more than doubled that to 7,700 bits. Right now, that's significant. In fact, it is one of the largest portion of the SPH non-media business. Well, in fact, media has like declined so rapidly that it is one of the largest asset bases, period, right? And they've already spoken, even before this announcement, SPH have been saying that this is going to, they're going to start to unlock value from the PBSA business. It is definitely one of the areas I think Keppel Capital be looking at. If in 2020, just last year, they raised money for this Keppel Education Asset Fund. That's a US $500 million fund. Okay. The first acquisition is actually a 70% stake in a bilingual K-12 school property operated in Chengdu. So other pipeline they're looking at include geographies outside of China, including Singapore, Australia, Vietnam, South Korea, and I think to just name a few. So there's this education theme that I think they can actually read the assets in. And on top of the education theme, both entities are also very, very strong, or at least have a burgeoning presence in the senior living space. SPH owns Orange Valley.
Yes.
And that's quite a big one in Singapore. Keppel, I think lesser known, but through Keppel Capital Senior Living, that's an entity. They acquired a 50% stake in the U.S. senior housing operator Watermark Retirement Communities and 50% stake in other affiliates of Watermark. So again, I think they're building up a presence there, and that could also potentially be REITed.
Yeah, Terence. SPH, of course, sold the entire non-media business to Keppel. What's your view on taking this step? Is this part of how they are trying to, I guess, get the maximum value for SPH shareholders? What's your view on not selling it in pieces, for example, a partial sale? Would that have gotten a better deal but maybe taken longer?
Definitely. I mean, if they really want to go to a beauty parade in each one of the assets, that's going to take a long time. There's going to be a lot of hassle. You are talking about negotiating with not only one party, but multiple parties. So there could be better returns overall, but it's going to take a longer time. There is also no due certainty. So you're like striking, you're trying to like work on one party. It's going to take a while, but yet, you know, at the end, this may blow up. And so investors may not maximize it may not maximize shareholders' returns overall. And the price is not too shabby, right? I think it's pretty decent, close to book value of SPH. But I feel that, you know, because the EGM for the media demerger is coming up, this is crucial. Speed is important. And I believe that is one of the key criteria.
We're on the line this morning with Terence Wong, the CEO of Azira Capital, of course, talking about that piece that's on the front page of the papers today, Keppel's proposal offer to privatize the non-media business of SPH to deal with $3.4 billion. Terence, I want to focus just on Keppel shareholders and, you know, what they should consider with regard to this deal. Is there anything else they should consider? And if you could throw in that bit about M1, I mean, it is owned by both sides. How does that fit into the equation?
Well, M1 is 81% owned by Connectivity, and Connectivity starts with a K, so it shows how positive they are. So Keppel owns 80% of Connectivity, while SPH owns the remaining. I said before, it makes sense for Keppel to actually subsume M1 as 100% subsidiary, as Connectivity, this time with C, is identified as key growth driver in its Vision 2030 plan. To recap, Vision 2030 plan redefines the group into four key pillars: energy, environment, urban development, connectivity, and asset management. So owning 100% of M1 will make it easier for M1 to initiate any kind of changes with great ease.
And Terence, what should SPH investors consider? I'm just going to lay out here, with this deal, they will get a total consideration of $9.9 per share, and this will comprise cash of 66.8 cents and also Keppel REIT units valued at 71.5 cents and SPH REIT units valued at 71.6 cents per share. So that is all part of the package they will get. What's your view of what SPH investors should be considering when you think about what's coming up as well, the media restructuring proposal?
Ryan, very important. It is not, like what you mentioned, it is not an all-cash deal. So investors must really be comfortable with Keppel REIT. I think that investors at SPH would have already, you know, by association, be comfortable with SPH REIT, given that, you know, they own SPH, right? But SPH is not what it was a few years ago. I mean, back then, it was a media giant with a burgeoning property business. That was very, very clear. But media has been on a decline, and that's very clear for all to see. And it has been very, very rapid over the, you know, past 2-3 years. So it has hit SPH very, very badly. Keppel right now is coming in and paying book value for the assets. Some say, hey, but this is not RNAV, right? This is just a book. It's unfair. Sure. But this is not but RNAV itself is not significantly higher. If you go by analyst estimates, I think it is to the tune of, you know, in the range of between 220 and 250. Typical conglomerates, multi-asset businesses in Singapore, they trade at a discount of 15-20%. The price that Keppel is coming into play right now is better than the discount that conglomerates are trading at in Singapore. So I think that the price is fair.
Terence, for Capital, I mean, this is all part of a wider series of moves. How is it positioned right now for future growth? How attractive does it look to you?
Well, I think if you look at Vision 30, which 2030, which I just mentioned, it is really to future-proof the entire organization. And I believe that with this combination, there are very, very clear synergies, and the enlarged Keppel organization will be in a good state to actually ride it out into the, you know, into the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, if you look at the recent announcements of, you know, like taking out the O&M business and consolidating its ownership in some of the other key assets and boosting the AUM, all these are, I think, very, very clear signs that, you know, Keppel is really going to make major changes in order to move towards its goal towards 2030. And the good thing is, you know, for the O&M business, it is very, very lumpy. The offshore marine business, it is very, very lumpy. It is actually hiving off this lumpiness and buying, at the same time, buying certainty from SPH assets. So all in, I think if you look at the two moves, at least two moves over the last 2 months, it is very, very positive for Keppel.
Yeah, Terence, just to wrap things up, in terms of process, what happens next? Because this is not a done deal. It's going to be contingent, like what you pointed out, on the hiving off of the media business.
Well, you're right. One big caveat is that the buyer is conditional on SPH successfully divesting their media business. And this demerger will see an EGM conducted, I think it's August or September, at least 50% of the participating shareholders will have to vote for a demerger in order for it to go through. Then step two, November, December, SPH shareholders will come in to vote again on the scheme of arrangement at another EGM to allow the privatization of purchase by Keppel. And the shareholder vote, the attendant shareholder vote, has to be at least 75% for this to go through.
All right, we've been speaking with Terence Wong, the CEO of Azura Capital. Terence, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Hey, you too, man, Elliot. Hey, see you, Brian.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.